9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
SpaceX's Starship explodes shortly after the test flight launched, capping a flurry of news for Elon Musk's businesses, a day after his EV company, Tesla, reported a drop in profit in the first quarter.
I think you have to think of all of this as one larger business empire, and when you have the central financial pillar of it on shakier ground, that has ramifications for everything else.
And Europe's air traffic agency says it's under cyber attack from pro-Russian hackers. Plus, why a battle between McDonald's and its franchisees is heating up. It's Thursday, April 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. SpaceX's uncrewed Starship rocket exploded shortly after lifting off this morning from a launch pad in South Texas. As we'll hear from our guest, the expectations for this launch were guarded, which is why when Starship did explode, onlookers on SpaceX's live stream cheered the progress it was able to make. It was the inaugural flight for the rocket, which SpaceX founder and CEO Elon Musk says he wants to use someday for deep space missions. It's been an eventful 24 hours for Musk and his various businesses. The rocket explosion comes a day after his electric vehicle company, Tesla, reported that it took an earnings hit from several rounds of price cuts on its vehicles. And today is also the day Musk said he'd eliminate free verified checkmarks for Twitter users in favor of a paid subscription model. So, what can we make of the latest news across these three businesses? And what does it all mean for Musk? I'm joined by our team to break this all down for us. Let's start with SpaceX. I asked our space and flight safety reporter, Micah Maidenberg, to talk about just what happened this morning during that launch.
The Starship rocket made it off the launch pad. It took off and began roaring towards space. And the vehicle actually made it through the most intensive period during kind of that initial flight. And then a few minutes after, what didn't happen is the spacecraft that sits on top of the vehicle's booster, the booster, of course, powers it off the launch pad. The spacecraft didn't separate from the booster. Those engines did not ignite. The spacecraft never separated from the booster. And shortly thereafter, it exploded, the combined kind of vehicle.
Micah, to help our understanding here, can you give us a sort of comparison of how Starship compares to other rockets?
Sure. SpaceX has said it would be the most powerful rocket ever developed. It would have more thrust, you know, to get into space than Saturn V, the sort of legendary rocket that NASA used in the 60s and early 70s for the Apollo moon missions. And, you know, SpaceX has given itself a number of complicated technical challenges to achieve with Starship. When it's fully stacked, you know, on the launch pad, it's nearly 400 feet tall. The booster has 33 engines. The spacecraft on top of it has several more. And to get something so big, so heavy, with so many engines to work just right is no easy thing to do. And there's other kind of hurdles that the company hopes to cross, including around reusability, that are still sort of on the docket.
Yeah, and speaking to those challenges, Micah, in the past few days, as you write, Musk had been trying to temper expectations about this launch. Can you tell us more about that and what he sort of explained there?
Yeah, SpaceX had said under its best case scenario, the flight after liftoff would last around 90 minutes. The spaceship, you know, also called Starship, would separate from the booster, fly up, gaining altitude, and sort of fly around the Earth before descending and landing in the water near a Hawaiian island in the Pacific Ocean. On Sunday, Elon Musk held a chat on Twitter and said, you know, kind of went through all of the technical challenges and risks that the company faced with this flight. I mean, I think he said it at one point that a million things could go wrong. And, you know, look, this is a big, complicated machine that has never flown before. And that was very much the message, that he was worried about something going wrong with an engine and that cascading to destroy the rocket or the company's launch pad. And he said, even on that Sunday night, that it might not be possible to fly this the first time.
What are we hearing from Musk today?
So Musk on Twitter congratulated SpaceX, the team that was working on this launch, for what happened today. And he said they'd already learned a lot from what happened. He also said the next launch would happen in a few months. Now, you know, the company has some kind of regulatory hurdles coming out of today. The FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, is going to oversee an investigation into the mishap. And SpaceX is not going to be allowed to conduct another flight until the FAA is satisfied, or determines, rather, you know, that what led to the explosion today, the mishap, won't affect public safety kind of going forward with this testing campaign.
Micah, what else might this mean for SpaceX's ambitions?
Well, just for Starship, it means, as Musk said today, they're not going to be flying for a while. And one way to think about that is, like, you know, SpaceX is trying to get going with a very ambitious, like, flight test campaign for this vehicle. They want to run it a lot. They want to understand, you know, how it works, what's not working, try to figure out the data and make improvements, not just for the sake of it, but because they have customers that are depending on this vehicle for their own missions. NASA is expecting SpaceX to deliver a variation of Starship to take two NASA astronauts to the surface of the moon as soon as 2025. You know, it's April 2023. You know, that date is going to come up fast because the company has a lot of work to do to fly this machine the way they want to fly it and show NASA that the variant that they're building for it is capable of safely transporting, you know, astronauts, as is the plan.
That's Wall Street Journal space and flight safety reporter Micah Maidenberg. Now let's take a look at another one of Musk's businesses, Tesla. As we discussed in last night's show, Tesla reported a 24% drop in first quarter profit due to recent price cuts. Shares of the company fell nearly 10% today, dragging down some other stocks too. Our Tesla reporter Rebecca Elliott has more on the company and the ripple effects of that earnings report.
Tesla's price cuts have been big in the past few months. You've seen, particularly in China, a number of car companies reducing prices for their vehicles. In the US, you know, I think it would be hard to say that we're seeing a price war yet. but I think there's concern that other car companies may need to lower prices or increase discounts or incentives. And that is worrisome for investors, probably a good thing for consumers.
You mentioned some of the outside factors that are weighing on Tesla's business. What challenges lie ahead now?
Look, interest rates are way higher than they were a year ago, quite simply for those financing the purchase of a car. That makes monthly payments a lot higher. You also have broad economic uncertainty and growing competition in the EV space. The US market is not as developed as the market in China, for example, but other automakers are coming out with a wider array of EV models, and so consumers have more choice than they used to.
Rebecca, what does all of this mean for Elon Musk? We know he has a broad portfolio of business ventures here. When it comes to Tesla, what are the implications?
Tesla and Musk's investment in Tesla, his holdings in the company, really underpins his business empire, right? You saw it last year when Musk sold a considerable portion of his Tesla holdings to fund his acquisition of the social media company Twitter. I think you have to think of all of this as one larger business empire. And when you have the central financial pillar of it on shakier ground, that has ramifications for everything else.
That's Tesla reporter Rebecca Elliott. And now finally turning to Twitter. It's had quite a few ups and downs since Musk took over the company in October. One major point of contention recently has been over those free blue check marks indicating a verified account. Those legacy check marks started disappearing for verified users today, and the plan to transfer them to a subscription model has faced considerable backlash. Our Twitter and social media reporter Alexa Course has more on the current state of affairs. So, Alexa, it took a few hours, but your check mark and mine have both disappeared. Now what?
Yeah, well, we had been told that today was the day that Twitter was going to remove legacy check marks. But I woke up this morning, still had my check mark, so had to wait. But in the last few hours, users who were legacy verified have started to lose their check marks. Twitter has had this system for years where they would give these blue check marks to accounts that were authentic and that they considered notable for high profile users to verify that's actually who they were. So celebrities, a lot of journalists got them, that kind of thing.
This plan, though, has faced a lot of backlash to remove the free element of these check marks, including from some of those celebrities we're now seeing losing theirs. So what can we expect as this now is finally rolling out?
So when Elon Musk took over Twitter, he said he wanted to grow its subscription business. And that has included moving from offering free verification to asking users to pay for those check marks and other features. So now, if you want to be verified, you need to subscribe to Twitter's subscription program.
That's Wall Street Journal Twitter and social media reporter Alexa Course. Coming up, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen talks U.S.-China relations. And Europe's air traffic control agency flags a cyber attack by pro-Russian hackers. More after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said protecting national security would be the U.S. priority in its relationship with China, even if it slows economic growth. In a speech today, she laid out the Biden administration's vision for its economic relationship with China. She said the U.S. will remain the world's dominant economic power and curb ties with China in certain areas, but added that the U.S. is not trying to prevent China's economic advancement.
The United States will assert ourselves when our vital interests are at stake, but we do not seek to decouple our economy from China's. A full separation of our economies would be disastrous for both countries. It would be destabilizing for the rest of the world. Rather, we know that the health of the Chinese and U.S. economies is closely linked. A growing China that plays by the rules can be beneficial for the United States.
Washington has been trying to stabilize its diplomatic ties with Beijing in recent weeks, which have been deteriorating for years. Beijing has ignored attempts to restart discussions on global security issues and has refused to engage with U.S. defense officials. Europe's air traffic control agency says it's under attack from pro-Russian hackers, but that air traffic is not at risk. A spokeswoman for Eurocontrol said a cyber attack on its website began yesterday and is causing interruptions. European authorities have become more concerned that Russia could interfere with the continent's critical infrastructure since Russia's invasion of Ukraine last year. On Capitol Hill, the Republican-controlled House has approved a bill that would ban transgender girls and women from competing in female event categories in school sports. The bill is unlikely to pass in the Senate, where Democrats hold the majority. But the vote reflects House Republicans' desire to weigh in on an issue that's been contentious for legislatures, sporting bodies, and schools. Republicans say the bill is in keeping with the intention of the Title IX provision that bars sex-based discrimination in educational activities. Democrats say it's wrong to restrict transgender women and girls' participation in sports just because of their gender identity, and they say it sends an exclusionary message that's damaging to an already vulnerable group of people. Involuntary manslaughter charges against Alec Baldwin in the fatal shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the movie Rust have been dropped by prosecutors in New Mexico. That's according to a person with knowledge of the case who said new evidence shows the revolver could have been fired without Baldwin pulling the trigger. In business news, a battle between McDonald's and its U.S. franchisees is escalating. Our restaurant reporter Heather Haddon explains.
So a group of McDonald's franchisees, which now have their own trade association, have for a while been expressing some concerns that McDonald's has been imposing additional rules without the support to really implement some of these things. And it's making them frustrated and basically harder for them to make money and run their businesses. Now, for McDonald's part, they say that these, you know, additional grading and additional oversight and upgrades and other recommendations are for the better for the business and the sales. But franchisees say that, okay, that might be true, but you need to help us do some of these things and support us better. And so that's where some of this tension and friction has come, and it has really grown.
Some franchisees are supporting legislation that would give them more say in how they run and sell their businesses. McDonald's, meanwhile, says those measures are dividing the chain. Whole Foods says it's planning to cut several hundred corporate jobs as it reorganizes its structure and simplifies operations. The Amazon-owned grocer, which operates across 9 regions, will now have 6, according to a memo viewed by the Wall Street Journal. The company is adjusting structures of some corporate teams, resulting in staff cuts, according to the memo. Employees affected by the restructuring will be informed today. The memo says Whole Foods is not closing any stores or facilities. The Italian offices of Gucci were raided this week by antitrust authorities from the European Commission. The commission says it's looking into concerns over what it describes as restrictions on how fashion companies do business with competitors and suppliers. Gucci owner Kering says it's cooperating with the probe. The raid is part of growing antitrust scrutiny in Europe over fashion, one of the continent's most valuable sectors. And IKEA is making a big expansion in the U.S. The Swedish furniture store said it will spend more than $2 billion, its largest U.S. investment ever, to open 17 new stores over the next 3 years. It's a big bet that U.S. demand for its furniture will stay strong amid high inflation. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.